Recently, I've been thinking about how a lot of people in the world try to get their sin like a seal of approval on it by going through the laws of the land in every country, I think. People want their sin so that they don't feel guilty about it. But yet, as members of the Lord's body, we need to be concerned with sin. And sin is all around us. There's nothing that's going to stop sin until Jesus comes back. But we need to be concerned with how we look at sin. And as we study tonight, we're going to look at how the Bible looks at sin and what sin does to the lives of people. You know, again, people want their consciences cleansed because, oh, the law of the land says I can be transgender. The laws of the land said, oh, homosexuality is okay. Divorce is okay. Well, that's the laws of the land. And people try to change the laws of the land so their conscience will not be seared. But sin will determine our eternal outcome. And we need to have an approach as a people of God when it comes to sin, how we approach it. We need to think about not only our own lives, but the lives of those around us. So, W. E. Vine in his book literally says it's literally a missing of the mark. Now, when I used to hunt, back when my shoulder would allow me, we would go target practicing. Well, sometimes you wouldn't hit the target and you don't know where the arrow would go. If you were inside a building, it would hit a wall, because I used to practice in some buildings. But if you're out in the woods, you have to go find your arrow because you missed the mark. And that's what sin is. It's missing the mark. God has set a standard for us, and when we sin, we're missing that standard. We're missing the mark. And so we look at sin as a child of God. When we miss the mark, we're not obeying God. We're not doing what He wants. And the Word of God describes sins as many different things. But let's look at Isaiah, the 59th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now, this is a verse that I've read many times. But actually, I'm going to read a little bit further than I normally would in this section. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So here we have a consequence of our sin. When we're in sin, when we're not repenting to God, he's not going to hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Doesn't that sound like a lot of people in the world? They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. A lot of people in the world, they're just enthralled with iniquity. They want to do their sin. They don't care if it hurts others. They don't care about anyone but themselves, a lot of people in the world. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. That brings to mind abortion, innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Remember back in the days before Noah? Only the thoughts, everyone's evil, was evil continually. Wasting and destruction on their paths. The way of peace they have not known. They don't know God's way. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Look what sin does. It destroys. God had a plan. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, it says, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." God has a plan to turn us from our iniquities. And we look at what some translations will use. Instead of iniquities, you use lawlessness. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, this is the scene of the judgment. Jesus said, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me who practice lawlessness." Or iniquities. Sin. People's sins. It's all lawlessness. It's just, this is their way of life. They want to condone all their sin. They want their sin condoned. They do those things that are not pleasing to God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." It can't be any plainer. God hates sin because it's lawlessness. It goes against his laws. It goes against his commands. And those who continue in the practice of sin are going beyond the law of God. Now, but most of the time so far this evening, I've talked about people in the world, but yet people in the church, the Lord's body, can sin as far as practicing false teaching. So we need to be considering that also as we go through this study this night. Let's look now at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 beginning. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." Doesn't that remind you of a lot of the things that are being taught these days? They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They're trying to get God wiped out of everything. They're trying to, as they talk about this cancel culture, they want to get rid of God out of everything. "Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." We see that in our society. It's getting more and more and more prevalent. "Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." These practices will cause people to be lost eternally. And we need to be warning people in the world that they say, "Well, but it's okay, the law says it's all right. The law says I can go out and have a beer at the tavern." But yet, it's opposed to God's law. And it also says, those who approve of them. We have to be careful that we're not approving of some of these things that people in the world want as laws. It's dangerous. And again, practice, it's a way of life. It controls them. And sin controls lives, and it causes people to be led. Their sin leads them in ways of unrighteousness. And a lot of, most people in the world don't even understand what sin is doing to their soul. They don't realize it. They're not aware of what's going on. And a lot of these things, they are considered pleasures. In James chapter 1, in verse 13, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Unless you repent, sin leads to death. There's no two ways about it. And the warnings are there from God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. This is the parable of the sower. Luke 8:14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, you say, well, okay, you've been talking about all these sins, but here it's just talking about cares and riches and pleasures of life. Is pleasure bad here? It's when pleasure, all we can think about are pleasures. Some of these things may not even be sinful in and of themselves, but yet they overtake our thinking, and we're not concerned about God's word and about God's teachings. And sometimes these are wholesome things, but it's a problem when it leaves out God. When we don't have time for God, for doing the things that God wants us to do in this life. People in this case, they're serving pleasure. In Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Apostle Paul told Titus that we were like this at one time, hating other people. Unloving, foolish, disobedient. But yet, he's reminding them that we need to be subject to the authorities. We need to listen to the laws of the land as long as it don't conflict with God's will. When people in the world, they don't care about God's law, they just care about their own pleasures and making sure that they get their way when it comes to their sin. Also, I mentioned a little bit before about the church having issues. And Peter talks about false teachers. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. Now these are Christians that are being talked about that have gone astray. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. There's a warning here. We need to make sure that we're teaching only God's word, that we're not falling prey to some false teaching. That's our responsibility. And this fits to anything that concerns sin ruling in someone's lives. So they revel. They want to have a good time. When do we party next? Because of this, look at the consequences, some of the consequences. Families are neglected. Some families are even ruined. Jobs are lost. Friendships are destroyed. All because someone was always looking for a good time. And that goes on and on. And again, it's not going to end until the Lord comes back. We need to be aware of the dangers. We look at adultery. When this is done, not only one is sinning, but two are sinning. And they bring others down with them. Because not only is the people that are sinning, but families are affected by this. And people just don't think about others, the consequences. They just think about their own pleasures. It says they cannot cease from sin, like a little child who's bored with one toy going to the next one. Now, I watch some of my grandchildren, especially the real little ones, they pick up a toy and play with it for a few seconds. Well, that's the end of that. And then they go off and actually they'll probably go out in the kitchen and play at the pots and pans or something. You know, they get bored with one thing and they go to another. But that's how some people are. They beguile or entice unstable souls. They're not happy to go down the path of sin alone. The more the merrier. And I think what happens is that they feel if there's more people involved in their sin, they don't feel so bad. Well, others are doing it. But again, they're going down the path of unrighteousness. Their heart is trained in covetous practices. The exercise that should be engaged is to be spiritually minded. You need to think of a soldier that's training. They need to have their mind focused. They've forsaken the right way. People of the world make light of you if you want to follow righteousness. I remember many years ago, right after Teresa's brother Mike and his wife Carol obeyed the gospel, we hadn't obeyed the gospel yet, but we were talking to them after there was a gathering for the softball team at Teresa's mom and dad's house. Well, afterwards, we walked out in the street with Mike and Carol, and we're talking with them for a while, and so when we came back, right away, they started kind of laughing because I guess they figured out that Mike and Carol must have been talking to us about religion. So, you know, it's like they're calling people goody-goody or such things as that. You know, they want to mock those that are wanting to do what's right in this life. And that makes them feel good, I guess, because they understand that they're in sin and they need to change and people just don't want to do it. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 9, When some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. That's Apostle Paul. They were speaking evil of the way. They want to bring the way down because that makes them feel good. Because their conscience says, I don't want to do what's right. I want to do my own thing. They love the wages of unrighteousness. People like to trust in what they can see in the here and now. They're only focused on what they can see in front of them. They're not considering what their soul will spend eternity, where their soul will spend eternity. So, what is the outcome of those who are determined to practice sin? We already looked at 2 Peter chapter 2, but I want to look at now at verse 17. 2 Peter 2:17. And it continues from what we had already talked about. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Who wants to make these reservations? But when people are in sin, they don't realize they're making these reservations for themselves. And the only way out of it is to repent. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because he did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. People can be saved if they love the truth, but there's no love of the truth for a lot of people. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, they love their unrighteousness. They have pleasure in it. It feels good. And because they do not receive the love of the truth, they cannot be saved. The only way we can be saved is to love the truth. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. They don't realize what they're working for, those that are in sin. Luke chapter 13, in verse 3. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The warning is there for those that are in sin. And a lot of people can't understand that they are in sin. In Jude, beginning in the fifth verse. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Those were the ones that were disobedient to the Lord. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They were homosexuals. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. When there is someone that may be a politician that is trying to do godly things, they want to bring this person down. They want to make fun of them because they're afraid that they're going to have to follow the laws that are godly laws. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring an accusation against him, a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So the archangel Michael felt it was out of his place to do the rebuking. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, waging raves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is a grim, grim state. And this is what sin does. And people of the world just don't get it. So, how do we avoid the outcome? And how should we as the people of God deal with the sin that is around us? Well, first of all, we can't be like the hermits or the monks back in the Dark Ages. In 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5:9. I wrote to you my epistle not to keep company with fornicators. And I certainly did not mean the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to have to go out of the world. Okay, if we're trying to avoid all sin, we'd have to leave the world. Sin's all around us. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named the brother who is a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what do I have to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So God gives us instruction what to do with a brother who's in sin and won't repent. But yet, we need to be out in the world trying to teach those that are lost. Of course, right now, it's a little more difficult than it was, but there's other things we can do. There's electronics that we can use. We can still send letters to people to try to encourage them. So there are things we can still do to preach the gospel. We have to live in the world, but we need to look to God's will to teach us how to deal with the sin around us. Other things that we can do. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Pretty simple. We need to abhor evil. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. These are all great things that we can be doing. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for all things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, throughout the years, in my jobs, most people I got along with, but there were some bosses that, I don't know what it was. There was some friction there. I don't understand it. And there was a couple of co-workers I had. One of them asked, what's the problem? He wouldn't say. So I don't know what it was, but, you know, all you can do is try. But some people, I don't know, personality conflicts or whatever. Sometimes, I don't know. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And another thing that I'm personally dealing with these days is, because I see all these laws of the land that are trying to make things ungodly look godly, well, it's not going to happen, but and some of these politicians who are doing evil things that are going against God's will, it's kind of frustrated me. And finally I said to myself, I guess, you know, I want them to be punished in this life. There's people getting away with stuff we're aware of. I'd like to see him punished now, but it probably is not going to happen. But on the day of judgment, God will take care of it. So I get frustrated with myself sometimes because I just get this feeling myself. I wish this could get taken care of, but it's all going to come out in the wash, I keep telling myself. God will take care of it eventually. And that's how I feel about these things now. God will take care of it. So abhor, according to what Vine says, is to shudder, it's to hate. Abhor evil. What is evil? Abhor it. We need to hate it. Sin should be one thing that we do not want to be a part of. We need to avoid it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We need to show people what sin is. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And more these evil things people are talking about. But God says it's a shame to even speak of those things. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. We need to make sure that we're using the Lord's time for His purposes. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to be knowing what God's will is. And do not be drunk with wine, but which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to be focused on doing God's will. We don't have to have fellowship with sin because it's we just have to avoid it. And if we have fellowship with sin, it will corrupt our good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. We need to expose sin. So there's a lot of sins described here, but there's several lists, other lists that are given by in the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Well, somebody said, well, my sin's not there. Whoops. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All these sins are condemned, and the like. If it's sin, or akin to it, it's unrighteous. First Thessalonians 5:22, avoid the appearance of evil. We have to be careful of the situations we get into, because others may get the wrong impression. Years ago, there was a young man who I was studying with, and he wanted to go to a dance. He hadn't obeyed the gospel yet. And, you know, he thought, well, that's okay. But I said, well, what about the impression others will get? And then, well, he thought about it. He eventually did obey the gospel, so that's good. Don't let sin have rule over you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. If you let it, sin will control you. But we need to be in control. We need to see what sin is, understand what sin is, understand the consequences of sin, and make sure we're in control so that it does not control us. We need to flee from sin. Remember Joseph in the long ago? He fled from sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. The warning is there to flee. In 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Get away from it as far as you can. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. God always gives us the instructions what to do when it comes to sin. What we need to do in our lives to please Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, the Lord tells us what to pursue, what to get away from. And finally, one last verse. Paul gives the best advice in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The instruction's clear. So we need to be thinking about sin. We need to have a mindset that we're going to avoid it and help others to avoid it and not condone it. I thank you for your attention.